nice, clean, and a little glass in the background. Cheers. No buns allowed.
Glass straw returns.
I just want to start off with my beer of choice. I think first and foremost, I've gotten a little sloppy with my beer presentation. Like, most of the time I'm scrambling, so I'm drinking like a cat piss ale just to like keep the thing going. Not today, though. Paige, this is one of my favorite beers. It's the seasonal Sierra Nevada, the Celebration. So Christmas beers, first off, Christmas beers, way better than pumpkin Halloween beers, and superior to also fall, you know, turkey beers. Like, they don't fuck around. If you're an IPA fan, Celebration is it. And every batch is a little different. I'm happy to report that this batch is tremendous. It's very good.
Okay. Well, one, every time you say Celebration, I think of the song. But if I was a beer person, I feel like a Christmas beer would be what would get me to actually drink it.
No, they're good. And some Christmas brews got a little too much oomph, but not this one. But I'm drinking a Christmas beer, and I'm in my fall municipal attire. I love this shirt.
I think that's your favorite shirt that you've ever gotten from municipal. I'm not going to lie to you.
My daughter, I was just walking because I'm at home filming today in my new backdrop, BR approved. I'm walking downstairs, and my daughter's like, "Dad, I like that shirt." I'm like, "Hey, honey, thanks." Like, so if you want your daughter's approval, shop municipal.com. It is important. Like, it's nice to get a compliment in this house. Like, it's hard. Boys, my two boys, no, they're jackals. It's Game of Thrones in here most of the time. All right. So that was nice to stop and enjoy a little compliment from my daughter as I was getting ready to talk about college football, which we did last night.
We did on our show, which I was wearing my municipal hoodie on that show.
I actually want to rant for, like, before we talk about the rankings, I think this format sucks, man. I think it sucks. I think it sucks to talk about. I think it sucks to digest. It's going to be a sucky implementation. I'm not digging it. I got to be completely honest.
I think it's a consensus that, like, people really hate this format. Like, we're all excited that there's going to be 12 teams, but the way that the rankings come out and having to look at the bracket every week and figuring that all out collectively, that is the worst. That has been the resounding theme amongst fans and people that work in the sport, that this absolutely sucks to have to cover. But what will we do without the rankings, though? That's my thing.
No, this playoff, though, is going to last 2 years. Here's the thing. We know we're expanding again. And I don't want to say it sucks and say I'm for, like, I like a larger playoff. I think the games are having a great impact. I think the format, you've got to make a more digestible format.
Yeah.
It's really confusing. And then when we get our bracket, it will probably be fine, because then you've got a bracket and X and Y play, and then the winner plays Z, right? And that'll be it. But, like, I think we've done two shows now, and I think watching people try to understand what the fuck is going on.
It's so funny. And also people yelling at each other because they don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say a couple things. One, we can go over ranking takeaways.
Yeah.
But one thing I do have to say before we get to actual college football playoff ranking discussion is I do need to apologize to James Franklin. Last week on the pod, I said he complained about their position. I saw a quote card, and it was someone talking about them, not him talking about it. And so I need to apologize for saying that on the pod.
Somebody shit on him last week. So don't
he
worry.
He might. Yeah, he might be really upset with me, and I can never go to a Penn State ever. But no, college football playoff rankings. I will say the thing that I'm already frustrated about is the lobbying for the SEC to have a three-loss team make the playoff and kind of setting that up. I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist besides the Heisman. And even I'm kind of like, antennas are up when there's conversation about, hey, don't count out Georgia and don't call things elimination games, specifically talking about Georgia. No other team, which we know is good for business if Georgia makes the playoff, left out of this week's top, or I guess the seeding of 12. I don't know. That's going to upset me. Like, if an Indiana team loses to just Ohio State, like, that's going to bother me that they don't get in. It's like basically a Florida State situation all over again, and we're going to do it the first year of the playoff expanding.
And this is also going to get worse. Like, the Big Ten and the SEC have become, but they're buddying up, and they are the only conferences that matter. And then as such, teams like BYU, Indiana's is a bad example because they're in the Big Ten, but they're like, let's be honest, it's like they're
teams like SMU.
Teams like SMU, they're like also rants, and it other football does matter, right? Like other football does matter, so you're going to get this conference puffy chested bullshit, which I hate around bowl season time anyway. Of like, wow, X conference really shit the bed this bowl season. And Greg Sankey is going to be so fucking annoying about too. I'm so tired of him, like, with this nonsense. So I kind of hope that the SEC does get completely screwed in all of this. Yeah. But other football, other teams have to be included. It gets back to this discussion though. Is it the best teams or is it the best performers? Right.
Yeah. Most deserving.
The answer is yes. But like, so a team like BYU. Let's say BYU loses a game. Let's say they lose in the conference championship. They win out, they lose in the conference championship. How are we going to treat these one-loss teams? Even a team like Miami with two losses versus three, if they get one, how are we going to treat them? We're going to treat them like shit. Like we're going to treat them like shit. Yeah. And we're already kind of setting that up in the rankings. I don't like that. I agree with you. It's and that part's not going to go away with this new layout of college football.
Yeah. I just think like what I'm nervous about is I thought this week's rankings outside of Miami being where they were, I thought SMU should have jumped them. I think that was the dumbest thing of all time. It didn't make any sense to me. Their strength of schedule is not that big of a difference. I think it's like 80th to 60th. Like that does in the grand scheme of college football, especially this year, what we've seen, that does not matter. So my thing is I feel like they've been evaluating really well. I was happy that Georgia was left out. I think rightfully so that Ole Miss should have been given the opportunity to come head-to-head. But then you look at Texas and where they're ranked compared to Georgia. Like, it's just, it's kind of a mess, even with the rules that they've set up. I think before expansion, the rules might change. And after this year, I think there might be situations that are going to cause them to have to change the college football playoff ranking, like ways of getting in, because it is sloppy and it's causing. Well, and the other thing is another conversation that's coming back up, which I never thought would come back up, is divisions in conferences. We got rid of divisions in conferences because we wanted there to be the two best teams in the championship game, which is great. But then you added like 12 teams to these conferences. So like it's a lot of it. It makes it complicated. The tiebreakers for the SEC alone are so ridiculous. But I was even looking at the ACC and the Big 12. Like, it's just a joke. It's such a joke.
So the other thing that last night, we can't really react to this stuff. It's hard to process all this in real time. So you and I do a live show. We're seeing the rankings. We're just like, oh, this team could go here. It's harder to know like what that team's ranking, and you'll know why I'm getting to this, like exactly what it means. And Indiana is the case in point. So we are Team Indiana, you and I. I love what Indiana has done. I support them being in this position. I found it very odd that Indiana got up to 5 last night after struggling with a bad Michigan team.
Yeah.
Like, I find it odd when the committee says, like, I'm impressed now. Like, Michigan is not good, committee. There was, you had Indiana where you did a week ago. And what you're basically telling us is that you heard a lot of shit about it. and that this is a market correction. Like, or are you giving them that credit? Like, this is
absolutely. I think it was a overcorrection for the first week and not for this week at all.
It can't be for this week, because that, if you're a team that got jumped, right? Like Penn State, BYU, you have Tennessee. Tennessee, of course, is just going to get jumped all the time because they get, like, it's just an odd, like, place for them to be right now after that win, which was not good. It was not a good game. They did not play great in that game. They were a 2-touchdown favorite. They did not. Like, it's trouble. I think Ohio State, like, I'm watching that game, and I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to get their fucking ass kicked. But there's still a fun story. So that part was weird. So I don't love that part. And then the other one that I know you talked about a lot last night was, like, Miami, right? SMU. What's the difference? Like, why is Miami ranked? Well, we know why, because it's Miami. But when you look at those two resumes.
Yeah, what's Miami's best win?
SMU is clearly better. Like.
What's their best win?
Well, let's play that game.
And also, their loss to me is a worse loss. SMU lost to BYU.
It's a light years worse loss. SMU lost to BYU by 3.
Yeah.
Miami lost to a Georgia Tech team that's not the one.
They almost lost to Virginia Tech. They almost lost to Cal.
How funny is it? Like, Georgia Tech beat Miami and Florida State in the same year. Just not things you see football wise.
Right. No, and it's a very weird. But also, like, I was thinking about it after our show. If I'm a SEC fan, I'm looking at Texas going, what in the actual F word are they doing up there? I'm sorry, F-word. I didn't want to say it.
Wow.
I'm censoring myself. It's just frustrating to me that, like, okay, so we're giving Texas the nod here. And, like, realistically speaking, like, one, they've lost to a team that's ranked below them now. So that head-to-head doesn't matter because it happened a couple weeks ago. And they haven't looked like the best team in the conference, really. I think
that conference is kind of a mess, though.
And this is what I meant by it. So last week I said the SEC's hot garbage has been hot garbage this year. It is literally because we are seeing very inconsistent play from
cannibalization.
SEC teams.
It's a cannibalization.
Yeah, it's the circle. I bet you we could connect the circle of suck in the SEC by the end of the season.
Who but would it's just you like, rank number one? I actually don't have an answer.
Based on what we just saw this week.
You'd rank Alabama number one?
Yes. Not in the country. I'd rank Alabama first in the SEC. Which sounds ridiculous because they've lost to a Vanderbilt team. They lost to Tennessee. I get it. But then also you have to have the conversation about Tennessee then. But they have another bad loss. So maybe Tennessee. Maybe I give the nod to Tennessee.
I would not.
And that's the problem with this record. That's a problem with who they play. Because there's like in the SEC tiebreaker situation, there is only basically Georgia is the only one that will have out of like the teams that could be tied that has played like common opponents or played head to head with these teams. So like I don't know. It's weird to me that the SEC is probably the hardest to decide who has the best team. Because, again, it's such inconsistent play from the SEC right now.
Can I also say that I think a group of five teams being overrated. I think Boise State.
I know you said that. You're hoping they lose. You're hoping they lose.
I'm not hoping they lose. How do you rank Army as low as you do? I know the answer to this. It's that Oregon loss. Like, it was a close loss. It's a good loss. Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean, Boise State has just been playing with their fucking food. They beat Nevada 28-21. They kicked the shit out of San Diego State. Close with UNLV. Hawaii was I mean, they beat Washington State. I guess that's a good win now. For I worry about this team. I think the group of five discussion, you want to talk about a bracket that could just get thrown into chaos.
Be Tulane.
It could be Tulane. Tulane's got an interesting game this week. I think Boise, what they play, San Jose State. It's interesting. Boise State is getting respect, but the rest of them are still scratching and clawing to be relevant.
You know who I actually am, like, kind of sad about is Washington State. I wish they weren't being treated as an independent, because I feel like that would be a good team to get that, like, fifth spot.
It's actually a great point. They're kind of stuck in football hell.
Yeah.
Because they can't, I mean, they're going to win the rest of their games, I think, at New Mexico, at Oregon State, Wyoming. They lost one game to Boise State, albeit they got their ass kicked.
Yeah.
Could they sneak up there? I don't know, maybe. Like,
I mean, they're obviously, because of the head-to-head with Boise State, they're not going to be over there, but they're not going to get in a at-large bid either.
Oh, if Boise State loses, though, they're going to really fall.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's an interesting scenario, actually, when you look at it.
Because, well, it makes me sad for Washington State fans in the sense that, like, if you were part of the Pac-12, this wouldn't even be a conversation.
Well, let's look at it this way. Washington State is 18th. Colorado or Kansas State, one of those teams is going to fall below them.
Yeah.
You've got a bunch of SEC teams that I think ultimately will fall below them. BYU or Indiana, Boise State. I don't know, man. Washington State could, like, just avoid carnage and just kind of quietly make the playoff. I think it's unlikely.
It's unlikely. But
they
were
within striking distance.
But it's a hard spot to be in. Imagine being, like, especially this year. Like, next year, this is a different conversation. Because, again, interesting enough, I don't think it's the... The new Pac-12 is just considered a group of, what do they call it, group of six now then?
Yeah.
They're going to have to change the rules for that specifically anyway.
I would love to see them just, like, fucking, like, avoid, like, a NASCAR race, like, just car accidents and just, like, 11-1 their way in. And people would be so pissed off. Like, look who they've played. They played one good team and got their ass kicked. Like, that's my playoff. That's what
also,
I want.
So, in the chat, I simply cannot with the people that think that they're like, Miami would beat teams by a billion. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And I keep thinking on Miami. But, like, even people were like, oh, Penn State's going to lose by 100. I'm like, no, they're not. Like, have you not watched college football this year at all?
That's the internet. That is the internet.
It's just disgusting.
What other rankings things?
Let's see.
They did the head-to-head right. They gave Ole Miss the nod over Georgia.
Yeah,
I would have
flipped if that would have happened. I think that's the correct thing to do. I was happy for Lane, by the way. We could talk about Lane.
Let's talk about Lane. Lane did the thing.
And that game, he did. He won the big game after years of not being able to. The criticism, he brought up the fact that he was offered the Auburn job and chose to stay at Ole Miss, and that his daughter asked him to stay, which I thought was really a sweet thing for him to share. Also, like, imagine, like, the difference between Lane Kiffin getting fired on a tarmac to, like, this version of Lane Kiffin. You can change. Like, if you want to better yourself, you can. I think that's the moral of the story.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Saban not letting him coach in the national championship. The FAU chapter. Raiders chapter. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we'll talk about these teams, but, like, I look at the Ole Miss and I look at Missouri. They, like, teams that we liked heading into the year. And they're like, if things go right, it could really go their way. Missouri ain't dead yet. They're close. But Ole Miss, like, this thing has worked. And I, to me, they are the poster child of, if you have booster support and a coach that knows their shit, you have a shot.
Yep.
You're not going to do it every year. You're not going to Georgia or Bama this. I don't think they're in that position to do it. Because I just think it's hard to hit unless you're replenishing. They're recruiting well. And he'll always have a quarterback. I mean, he'll always have a quarterback. Somebody's going to come play for him. But it is a – this is the blueprint to a team that hasn't historically had this kind of success, how you have that success. And, yeah, Lane now becomes a hugely – you know, the silly season, and I want to talk about this, like the silly season is going to be very quiet. Because teams are scared shitless of all the money they're going to have to pay players. So not a lot of firing is going to happen. You're going to have some. You've already had some.
I mean, but maybe like, my school.
Well, maybe your school. Oh, is that sourced at all?
No, it's just rumor right now. The rumor mill is running. Actually, I will say this about Arizona football Twitter right now. Very volatile. Very, very volatile. I don't know why we're all getting so mad at each other.
Well, you had such a you tasted success, and then it like somebody pulled like, oh, you like that? Well, you can't have it. It's like when my kids steal from the like candy jar. They're like, oh yeah. It's like, hey guys, it is 10 in the morning. God damn it! So you got that happen. But Lane, Florida ain't gonna open because that's the obvious one, right? So yeah. Florida's not gonna open.
By the way, can we talk about how comical it is to just stick with this guy? And then I think that's why they did it.
Yeah,
it's because they knew that the Texas loss was going to be a big one.
You know, we were all over that. By the way, I did. We talked about it on the pod last week. Like, yeah, they're probably going to stick with him. And then, boom, day later, like there he is.
Yeah, we talked about it, and producer Matt did clip it for us, but after it had been announced, I thought that it would make sense based on what we talked about, and it didn't make sense, so I didn't post it. But you guys did hear it here on the actual pod that we did think that he was going to stay.
I have to assume all of this hinges on Lagway staying, and all like because if he stays, Florida, the kid is going to be really good. Like Florida becomes relevant based on what I've seen of your young quarterback, like. And it seems like that everybody's on board with this. Like, it seems like he's going to stay.
I need to look into it further, but I know there is, in terms of recruiting, I feel like I read something where they do have other people coming as well. So,
yeah.
I mean, that are extremely hyped, which would make sense. Because, again, it's Florida. Florida's still going to be able to recruit, even though Dan Mullen didn't want to do it.
I want to take a quick detour on the Lane thing, because that is, from a vibe standpoint, is the highest. I want to tackle the lowest vibes. Go ahead, by the way, if you wanted to. I think you know where I'm going.
Is that Alabama behind you?
Yeah, I took that picture. Yeah, I was at a game.
Okay, so I get called the Alabama homer all the time, but little did I know you had an Alabama photo up in your...
I have an Alabama photo. I have a Clemson photo, and I have an Iowa photo. Okay. And also... Wisconsin, like all places that I've been and I've taken these pictures and then put them on my wall. And yeah, I sometimes make no mistake about it. I can absolutely be an Alabama homer. Speaking of Alabama.
Okay. What do we got?
Brian Kelly. Check.
Where the vibes are low. I mean,
that's it. It's not.
We've talked enough about how we feel about.
Do you see the video of him bitching to the ref at the end of the game? Where he's like, they're sending fucking eight guys. Like just bitching. Like that video of Brian Kelly bitching about Alabama still blitzing up 870-4.
It's like, what?
What's
the ref supposed to do?
They're still fucking sending eight guys. Just yelling at a ref who's like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not sending eight guys. Like, so, all right. So they have a great recruiting class coming in. They're not going to fire him.
No.
I actually don't think he's a bad coach.
He's not.
I don't think he's a great human. I don't think he's a bad coach. I think winning is really hard. And I think, unfortunately, in the SEC, it's really hard. I'm not doing that to do the this means more shit. I'm just saying it's like this is going to happen to teams. So DeBoer in year one beats Georgia and LSU. He's had his own bullshit, right? And he's had his own bullshit. But Georgia in year one, or Alabama in year one, has done that. And Brian Kelly has had some signature moments, but it doesn't feel like he's produced like DeBoerian success in his tenure at LSU. He made it to an SEC championship game. I think they got fucking throttled, but he made it, and that was cool. And I saw people, I forget who I saw this on Twitter, but they're like, hey, next year he gets Bryce Underwood, the quarterback. I mean, they've got some exceptional players coming in, and the vibes on Bryce Underwood are very high for people that know ball. And they're like, well, when Bryce Underwood goes, Brian Kelly won his national championship. And it's like, well, dude, he had a cheat code last year. He had the greatest individual player that we've seen. Should have been the number first overall pick, it looks like. So I don't know what to make of Brian Kelly other than he's here to stay. And I think I can think of very few coaches that people love seeing fail more than Brian Kelly.
Than Brian Kelly.
I mean, who is there? Like,
for me, it's a pretty obvious answer. You know what we should talk about? Kirby Smart. Ahead.
Just a random segue. I get to be quiet now and drink beer, I think.
He has since apologized, so I will start there. There was a video of a player on his team after the Ole Miss game who appeared to be celebrating, okay?
Yep.
He had seen people that he has known his whole life, their family friends, and he was surprised to see them, and they were jumping up and down and excited because they were also rooting for somebody that he knows that plays for Ole Miss.
Yep.
And it was like a very, you could also see in his face that it was an awkward, like, huh, yay, I'm like so happy to see you guys, but also like this kind of sucks. Like, you could see it in his face. It wasn't like he was just like pure happiness. So this was recorded, posted on the internet. Kirby is asked about it in a press conference and calls him an idiot. Now, like I said, he apologized for calling him an idiot. But what really just irked me, and we have talked about this on the podcast, is that there are a lot of Georgia players that have done idiotic things that very much would justify him calling them idiots. Okay? And he chose this player to jump on and to, like, you can say you're sorry, but you already put it out there and you allow other fans to now treat this kid this way, which is not okay, because it wasn't like a huge, it wasn't a big deal. He wasn't, and the people who are like, you know, football diehards and football guys are going to be like, well, you should be sad and you should be crying and blah, 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 whatever. Take your toxic masculinity somewhere else. Legitimately cannot believe that he didn't think that one through to go, you know, maybe I should be more critical publicly, which, by the way, he's been so mindful about the words he uses with the guys that have been accused of assault on his team, the guys who have been accused of reckless driving numerous times. It's not just one incident. And that's the situation where you're going to choose to be critical and use the word idiot and say that about a kid. To me, it just once again proved that they're going to continue to have a culture problem at Georgia. I don't know that it's going to be like it good. They're going to have good players come, but there's going to be quite a few issues that are going to keep following them, and that might eventually get in the way of their play and them being successful.
I actually am not going to defend Kirby. I'm going to instead talk about, like, us getting mad, like you said, about like when players are happy after losses. Like, I love that we're like, you got be sad for me because I'm sad. Like, I understand there's a balance here for the players. Like, yes. You don't want to be like out here, like, you know, jumping rope.
Like, you don't want him betting. Like, you don't want him looking like he won a bet on Ole Miss.
But I also think, like, it's always hilarious to me that, like, that still exists. It cracks me up that we get that mad about it.
Yeah, and, like, again, there's, I mean, but if you think about it, those, like, football guys will always be like, oh, the 24-hour rule. It's like, okay, so you have to get over it 24 hours, so you'll be fine in 24 hours, but him seeing somebody he didn't expect to see was happy about it. And then he wrote an apology. I felt so bad. You know how many players have done dumb shit on that team that haven't written an apology? I hope he transfers, honestly. I know that sounds bad, but he's clearly said that he loves Georgia and blah, blah, blah. And it's a great place to play if you want to win a national championship. We know that, but that's just ridiculous to me. That is the stuff that I'm like, Nick Saban would never.
I love it. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's a bad look. And I do appreciate him kind of walking it back. I actually didn't see that. I mean, out of pocket a little bit today. So the fact that he walked, that's good. Yep. I mean, not all coaches would do that. Like, that in itself, I think.
He had to, because all of us were saying the same shit on the internet. Like, hey, buddy.
Well, it doesn't look good when you're calling a college kid an idiot. I mean, that's just a
period.
It's just not good.
To be fair, if you were to call a college kid an idiot, reckless driving and assault are pretty good reasons, too.
I would agree.
So, I mean, it is what it is. Not to get negative on this podcast. We like to be upbeat. But that just really, and to me, it's just one of those things in college football that they're, and we talked about this with, like, Lane Kiffin. Like, there are people that have made mistakes and outside of college football and on-field stuff that, like, choose to be a better person. Try to be a better person every day. That should be the goal. Also, this is so random and not on our doc at all, but have you, and I made a joke about it on our live the other day, have you seen the screenshots of messages that SEC quarterbacks are sending women?
I have.
Why? Why are we doing this? You guys, you are SEC quarterbacks. Do you really not think that someone's going to... I mean, one, I actually feel really bad because that's like an invasion of privacy and like very uncomfortable. Because you know what? If they want to ask for nudes, go ahead. But... And none
of
them have been like...
quarterbacks. There you go. There's... It is officially, no punts allowed, approved. If you're an SEC quarterback, ask for nudes. You heard it here first.
No, I'm not encouraging that. I'm not.
No, but no. It's we are, to be clear, we'll allow it on the pod.
I won't blanket statement and say all of them weren't disrespectful, but I mean, like, we're all not stupid and know what goes on in college. Like, I just think also, like, two of them have girlfriends. So, like, that's the part that's a little messed up.
You gotta be careful.
Trust no one. Actually, my message to SEC quarterbacks is not to slide in the DMs. It is to just head down and focus. I'm going to be the football guy now. I'm bringing my toxic football guy traits into here. Focus on football right now, okay? Season's going.
19-year-old kid with raging hormones.
just focus on football right
playbook.
Now, okay? You're being paid a lot of money. I can say that now.
Legitimately.
Please, just focus on that. Don't. Like, find yourself a nice girl once you get to the league, or find yourself a nice girl once you're selling insurance. Like, just wait. Just wait, you know?
no buts allowed. Approved. You just got to have your head on a swivel and be smarter. I will say that. USC is on probation. I didn't actually know that was...
Yes. There.
Do they do probation anymore? Does it actually matter?
I don't know why they did this. Is this like a reason for... I don't know why. I don't know. I think it was self-reported, right? That like...
Well, probably, because if you don't self-report at this point, they're like, cannot recruit anymore.
50,000, I think, is the fine, and then they're on probation, which I don't know if that's their way of being like,
We still
can protect our Lincoln Riley hire, though.
Do you think the NCAA does this now? These stories, when they used to happen, were like, I first started covering college football, it's like, oh, probation, scholarship losses, all these things. And now the NCAA just kind of slides it under the door like, hey guys, just real quick, we're probation. There's a little fine here, no big deal, right? Like slap on the wrist. And it just hits differently now. Probation stories like they used to.
They were more scandalous, but the NCAA is losing their fire.
Oh,
really.
God, yeah. Yes. Yes. And then finally, so I saw this on Twitter, okay. And I wasn't sure that this was real. So Syracuse, who I've bet against like 400 times this year, their coach, Fred Brown, said, I'm trying to find the exact quote.
He said,
I don't deserve soap. Is his quote.
He was like, I just go home and I brush my teeth and I go to bed. Like, losers don't deserve soap. Like, and I'll shower the next day. Like, that again, football guy. To be sad, so sad you can't shower, but I don't
shower.
That would be my thing. Shower. Yeah, like,
losers don't shower. Like, losers, like, it's a long day, buddy. Just shower.
I feel like winners are more likely to like not shower, where you're like celebrating and you get to go out and you get to, like, this winner. Yeah, I feel like it's the opposite. But I appreciate the sentiment, and also going viral like that is a great way to recruit. This is the age we live in, you know?
But like, do you want to commit to the guy that doesn't shower? Like, hey, my coach.
I mean, a guy that takes football so seriously that he thinks he doesn't deserve soap. He's going to punish himself for bad
coaching. I like the line,
and
though.
And take responsibility.
I don't deserve
and
soap.
And not blame his players like Hugh Freeze.
But he brushes his teeth, though.
He does brush his teeth.
But I don't deserve soap. I don't deserve to do all that. I'm just focused on trying to get back and trying to make sure all our players mentally understand that I let them down. Now, okay. Like, full context, there's some, like, all right,
there's some
buddy.
Good stuff. But the internet, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I think that was a very great recruiting tactic. I like it.
But fucking shower. That's, like, I think this is posturing.
Also, I think he showers. It is. I also really hope that this means that he gets, like, a deal with, like, Irish Spring or, like, some sort of soap.
You know that, like, the brands will be all over this. The brands will
Man,
be.
And I wish
all
I could just show
this.
Up to a press conference and just have brands send me stuff based on what I say.
For me, it's hog chicken nuggets. That's all I get sent is Razorback chicken nuggets. That's my brand. Before we dive into locks, this is a weird week. Weird week on the schedule.
I'm still just not over the hog nuggets.
Hog nuggets. They're good. I still got like two bags.
It's also the way you say it. Hog nuggets.
Hog nuggets. It's for a minute. I am from Fayetteville. That's what I do. So this is a weird week of football.
Yeah.
I don't mean that in like in a nice way. And I also know that every time we say that, shit normally hits the fan and it's like all hell breaks loose.
I picked straight up upsets.
Well, I've got a bunch of them.
Two of them are not, but
I'm trying to see. I mean, the game, I guess, is Georgia, Tennessee. I don't have. Well, let's talk about this too, because I didn't put them originally in my locks. I don't have them in these locks, but I do have them on BR. Because I don't like the funny business that's going on with whatever...
With Nico and his
head injury or his concussion.
I also, like, don't love the speculation of his, like, head injury.
Like, I agree.
If you know that he had a seizure and they're not releasing that information, don't be like, oh, he didn't come out for the second half because there's lights flashing and stuff like that, and allude to that. To me, that is very, very poor journalism. And I think it should be like, hey, it's serious. It's a head injury. Either you report that it, in fact, was a seizure and something happened, or you report that it's a head injury, don't know. I don't like the alluding to the seizure part.
Chris Felica, who I like a lot, had basically said, like, I don't think he's going to play. And then Tennessee is, you know, has him at practice and is certainly make it seem like he's going to play. But there's a lot of cryptic nature in this injury. And I actually think... with gambling becoming so prevalent, like, this shit has to stop. We've ranted about that on this pod before. It's okay for a guy to be questionable. But the way that this is being covered is very odd.
Yeah.
And I don't think it matters. I still think Georgia's going to win this game by double digits, by the way.
I think Georgia's going to win. I did not pick them in locks or anything like that, but I do think Georgia wins.
What has that line? I haven't seen today, but what is it still 10 here? Hold on. I'm going to just do a little. That line opened up and it was very, it's 10.5. So be interested to see what that line does. The fact that it's already on the move is also interesting, but let's do locks. Would you like to go first? You don't want me to.
Sure, I will. I just want to show you the lock that I drew. I have the worst handwriting in the entire world.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's really bad.
Me too.
Oh, Kramer, guess what I did?
What?
I didn't bring my computer charger in here.
Is it dying?
Yeah, it is dying. Before we do locks, hold all please.
Right. In the meantime, as you're knocking shit over. See, but what we find with our podcast is that we leave this in. Producer Matt, this must stay in. Now, what are you doing? Now you're like running around. All right. All right. Well, fine. Good luck. I will go first then, as Paige is getting her computer charger in a clearly rehearsed podcast. I will go first.
Very well organized.
All right. I'm doing my lock first. You said you were Big 12 heavy before we came on the pod.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to start, and I love Kansas +3 versus BYU.
Me too. We're on the same team.
The number 8 team in college football at home is field goalie with a 3-win team. That ain't right. Yes. So we're 1-for-1, which, by the way, we should stop because I'm sure it won't go well from here.
Okay. So I had 3 locks that I picked this morning. And then as we sat down, I was like, oh, I'm going to look at 2 other locks to make. And I was like, the first 3 are the Big 12. So I'm just going to make all of it the Big 12. So all of my picks are from the Big 12. So yes, I have Kansas +3. And then I'm taking Utah +11.5.
Wow. That number jumped up.
This big.
I don't know what to do. I thought about that game. I thought about laying the points originally with that game, and then I decided I was staying away. But I will.
First Colorado, by the way.
Yes, first Colorado. I am going to lay the points with South Carolina -12.5 versus Missouri.
I love that.
What a funny point spread. What a funny point spread. Yeah, what a weird point spread. Missouri has told us all year who they are, and South Carolina in these moments kind of has too. This is the end of the Missouri talk once and for all. South Carolina is going to win this game by a lot. The odds makers clearly like the Gamecocks. So, yes, we're laying the points.
All right. I love that. I am taking Arizona State +9.5 versus Kansas State. I want chaos. And look at me taking Arizona State. I'm being so nice to them.
So Scataboo's going to play. Man, they're good. They've been a good story.
They've been good. Yeah. I guess they've been good at home, and they are away, so we'll see. Manhattan is not a great place to play. Not the most fun, but hey.
Yeah.
9.5 points is a lot of points. I don't know if they get the full upset, but 9.5 points is a lot of points.
It is.
Especially for a fired up team.
Well, I will join you in points. I like Arkansas +13.5 versus Texas. Texas's road games, they played Michigan back in early September. They nearly lost at Vanderbilt, and then they have this game. This is like the Sam Pittman special. They will not win this game. They'll give you hope that he should be the guy to try and save his job. They will keep it close enough, I believe. Fair.
I hope he never gets fired.
I agree.
Because there's just like not a better match in college football than that one. I am going to bet on my football team this week, and I'm going to bet with them. I'm taking them -1 this week. So I'm hoping they win. I need it.
it is, because I looked at this game versus Houston. Yeah. Arizona minus one versus Houston.
Yeah.
I know.
I have no comment. I just, Houston has a better record than Arizona.
Yeah.
Arizona, and look, I picked Oklahoma State. They're horrible. I bet against them last week. They have quit. Hopefully Arizona has not quit. I don't think they have.
Yeah, the other thing is their home also, like, Brent Brennan could be coaching for his job. I don't know. Like, we need this one.
That's wild, but you might be right.
I don't know.
How about Michigan State plus 2.5 versus Illinois? It's another line that jumped out to me. Michigan State has been sporadically good. Illinois started out good, and then they haven't played great. Both teams have played pretty brutal schedules, so this feels kind of a normal spot. I like Sparty in this one, plus 2.5.
All right, so the other two Big 12 games are Cincinnati, Iowa State, and Baylor, West Virginia. And honestly, I should have bet Baylor, West Virginia, but I bet Iowa State, and I'm taking them with the points, minus 9.5 for Cincinnati, which...
I like that a lot. I actually may add that to my locks. I thought about it, and I'm fully in.
Okay, you support this. I'm so glad.
I do. I do. That's
honestly,
a good
that makes
bet.
Me feel so much better. I was worried, but by the way, bet Georgia Tech this last weekend. I felt like what's the guy's name that Notre Dame is?
Yeah. That? Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what I felt like with between that and calling the fact that Bama
would roll
and the Georgia would lose. I felt very powerful.
My last one is Washington minus 3.5 versus UCLA. This is not a revenge pick because UCLA beat Iowa. I think UCLA is a little overrated.
Should we talk about that Iowa situation for a sec? Because I was off.
Do we have to?
And yeah, I was off and I saw that game. What happened? What happened? It was like you guys started the quarterback that you want to start all along, and then he got hurt, and then you had...
He was just bad. I don't think he got hurt.
Guy...
I think he was bad. And
really?
Then they brought on the walk-on, who did some good things, but was also bad. It was bad. It was like... it was.
By the way, I bet them. So cool.
Well, the
no
other
one gave
thing
me a heads up that things were getting real bad.
I bet them, too. Neighbor Jason bet... everybody was betting them. The thing that really frustrated me... the quarterback play aside, Iowa's offensive line just got absolutely like eaten alive. It was bad up front. And that was the part where like you have a running back that's really good. He was getting clobbered every time he touched the ball. So, yeah, it wasn't great. Friday night football also sucks, by the way. Like when your
that's
team
what we
is
end
playing.
This week with Arizona.
Not a fan, man. Not a fan. Like, Friday night, I need to be preparing for Saturday and maybe betting on a game I don't have a ton of, like, emotional interest in. All of that. I bet on them. I had emotional interest in them. I just went to bed pissed off. Woke up with a little bit of a wide headache. Not great. Not great.
Truth comes out.
Yeah. So there you have it. There's our locks. Random shit.
I mean... it's that time of year. I'm just going to let you know I'm putting up my Christmas decorations. I already started in my house.
We're done already.
Christmas post. You got them all up.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So my fiance is out of town this week. We were out of town this last weekend. He's out of town this weekend again. So we're not putting up the tree. I'm not putting up the tree until he gets back. I'm trying to be nice and he can
nice.
Do that with me. Because, of course, he really, really wants to. That's
yeah.
Duh.
yeah.
Not true. He wishes.
Oh, he will. One day he will.
Yeah.
I love it. It turns into fighting and dropped ornaments and all that shit, but I do enjoy it.
But let me tell you, as someone who has not had their own house to decorate before, this is a very new thing. And I'm not going to lie to you, after this podcast, I'm driving to Target to pick up a massive order of stuff to decorate my house. I've started. I ordered pillows. I got good deals on stuff. We got our Christmas tree early and on sale. Got the Home Depot one. Had to like wait to get an email to get it when it was in stock. All this crazy stuff that happens with holiday decor.
Target, by the way, because I bought a bunch of new lights last week and I went to Target. Like, great. It was a great deal.
Oh,
on
50%
off. Yeah.
50% off. I just bought a bunch for $1.50.
I know. It was exactly. Those were the ones I bought. They are in my backyard. I've got these big, nice trees or plants we put in, and it's like it's decked out right now.
Now, question: are you guys a color? You are a colored lighthouse.
No, no, no. So
you are.
Well, no. This is an ongoing discussion. I am. My wife is not. So
okay.
We could see what, if you're wondering what color our house is, the answer is the it's white light bulbs. Who wins that?
Yeah,
okay.
You know who wins. But yeah. I pegged you for a guy who would be a colored light.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now
I feel like
I've
that's also like a Midwest thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. And it's weird, though, too, because we have like some of our landscaping lights then. We'll, instead of like nice white bulbs, we'll put in green and red. Like,
yeah.
Like,
I'm
like
okay with green and red. I'm good with green and red and white. I don't judge if it's green and red. But if you got like blue and purple and
yes.
orange in there, I don't like those ones.
Well, I kind of do, but I'm used to not seeing it. So at this point, I'm, you know, that's the way it goes.
I am proud of myself because I didn't go with the like aesthetic, the like beige aesthetic, like the rest
yep.
of my house is for
yes.
Christmas. Like I'm doing full red and green.
No,
everything's
good.
Red and green. And I like the maximalism of like old school Christmas.
No, that's
I don't
good.
Like the beige and brown trees.
I'm with you. Well, I it is exciting. Getting you to do your thing is exciting.
I'll send pictures to everybody. I'll post them. Don't you worry.
Our big new tradition is Lego does a different Christmas Lego every year. That's
mm-hmm.
like, and we do it every year. But what ends up happening is I end up doing it, which is actually fine. I find doing Legos to be extremely relaxing and rewarding. And so we've set up our Lego village. We'll get an image of this up at some point. And new one has
just
arrived.
Send it to me and I'll post it.
Thanks.
On our No Puns Allowed. So people can see it.
Yeah, this is
you're
how
so welcome.
It does go. Yeah. So we'll be working on that. But and then I travel next week and then it's Thanksgiving. And you know what that means.
Yeah,
off
the
rails.
Thanksgiving episode.
Off,
yeah,
off
Thanksgiving
the rails.
Episode. I feel like it's, you know how I think Friends was known as like a really good Thanksgiving TV show.
Yeah.
There's a lot of TV shows that I feel like did Thanksgiving really well. I feel like How I Met Your Mother was another one.
We don't do it well, but it's not boring.
No, I feel like we do it well. I feel like it's our people's favorite episode of the season because it really just is off the rails. We both drink and
yes.
it just becomes a little nutty.
Yes.
I had a question for you. Oh, are you traveling home on Wednesday next week? Because then we need this one.
Oh shit. I
just let our podcast. I just gotta let our podcast listeners know that
just
if there is
be
a delay
on the lookout,
podcast,
yes,
be
on the
lookout.
Lookout.
The podcast is about to be delayed next week. Look at that. At least we got the announcement out to the people before it happened this time.
We will. Yeah, we will have to. I'll have to have a
revisit
that.
We'll sort it out.
Yes,
this is what college football season is all about.
This is what college football season is all about. Is that okay? Anything else? I think that's pretty good.
I think that was a good show, you know?
What is the F1 race in Vegas again?
This weekend?
Is it really?
Yeah. No,
got
next.
It. Okay.
Next.
I saw the Spheres got the F1 tire.
I'm pretty sure it's next. That's bad that I don't
it's
know.
It's been quiet on that front. I feel like that has not gone as well, maybe, as they were hoping.
The Vegas one?
Yes.
Oh, the Sphere specifically, or like?
Well, no, just Vegas in general. Like, I don't think that city has embraced it. I know
Formula
people
One yet?
That live there. It's hard. It's a logistical challenge.
I feel
I
like
think.
I've heard it's a lot better this year and way more organized. And like, obviously, I think the construction factor being out of it, I think helped. But I'm sure there's still plenty of people that hate it.
Yes, I will watch. I know that I will want to watch until I fall asleep because it's not too late. And I'm
it
old.
Is late. It is a late night one. We'll be working.
All right. Well, enjoy the football. Enjoy your holiday decorations. And
thank you so much.
We will talk to you guys at some point, promise, next week.